Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, everyone, welcome to another Behind the Glass live event. Actually, the start of what's going to be 3 or 4 live events in a row. But this one is from the UK. The next ones will be from Australia. We are back at the amazing Podium Place with an audience of lovely people. Give yourselves a round of applause. And as we were just discovering and discussing, an audience of new Behind the Glass Live attendees. It's exciting when new people come, isn't it, Tony?
It is, yeah. And I think we've had this quite a lot this year, people coming to the show.
Because when we first started, it was like literally the same people coming to every event. Yeah. And we were like, oh, hi again.
Yeah, hello.
And we got to the Rate My Ride, we're like, oh, this one's back. So it's nice that so many of you have come along that haven't been before. We hope you... Actually, I've just realised, maybe it's not a good thing. Maybe now people come and go, I'm not doing that again. That's why we keep getting new people.
Yeah.
What a disaster.
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed you enjoy this and you do come back. We will, of course, kickstart today's episode in the traditional live event format with the Rate My Ride section. And I actually have had a sneaky peek at the photos
today. Oh, that's cheating, mate.
It is cheating, but I'm always just a bit intrigued. And we did a meet and greet beforehand, as we always do with our VIPs. And I found out, like, everyone came in a Jag today. Not if you agree that, like, the car park is full of Jaguars. Like, it's literally everyone like, oh, I'm coming in an F-Pace. Oh, I'm coming in an F-Type. Oh, I'm coming in an XFR. Like, anyway, so let's just launch into it and kickstart with something that's definitely not a Jag. Look at this, Tony. That's one of your dream cars, isn't it?
I mean, it's almost a Jag. I mean, it might as well. The Jag's better than that, but it's the same thing.
It's an Aston Martin GT8, a Vantage GT8. Who's bought that? Look at you, sir. That's unbelievable. Now, Tony's favourite expression about my old 360 was that it made a lot of noise and didn't go anywhere. I would maybe claim that this car has a similar vibe. Yeah. Do you mind just passing that microphone back to the very kind owner of this vehicle?
Oh, it always makes me laugh when Sam's derogatory about a car, because that genuinely does mean it's a pile of shit.
No. I love this era Vantage. I love the GT12. I don't not love the GT8, but it's like, it's about theatre, right?
Yeah, it's a very polarising car, but it's sort of fun.
It's fun. Hold the microphone to your mouth, sir, if you don't mind.
To your ear.
How long have you had it?
Well, he's here all his life.
No. Too quick, Tony.
So 7 years, but it's my dad's.
7 years? Oh, it's your dad's car.
My mate asked me to bring it along. I normally have a GT4, which is a much better driving car.
Well, that's what you should have brought.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, brought that along today. But we've had it for 7 years, so since it was new.
But your dad's not here?
No.
Okay, so tell us, Tony, what do you actually think of this?
Well, his dad's got more sense than him because he knows he won't get home. No, I don't. I've got no interest in it.
Have you experienced
either
GT8 or GT12?
I've been in a GT8, but not a GT12.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just not interested in Aston Martins, mate.
At all?
Apart from the Valkyrie. Oh, let me have a go in one of them.
You're such a... Anyway, thank you for bringing it. It will be the loudest thing here, I think.
Yeah.
And it's cool. You don't see them that often, so... Your mate was right to force you to bring the car. It was very, very cool. If you came in a GT4, we probably would have skipped past you.
No, we wouldn't have. We'd have told you, like, you're like God. Literally.
Moving on. Oh, right next to it. It's a GT4.
Did you bring that as well?
Who came in the dark
oh,
blue
here he
MGR?
Is,
oh, is that your friend? So you didn't want to come in matching cars, basically.
No, exactly.
Manual or PDK? The only question to ask.
PDK.
Oh, good man. Well done.
No, but someone went boo. I actually...
Who said boo?
Someone booed.
Yeah,
someone in the middle there. I think the GT4 kind of suits PDK. I do like the PDK and
well,
the GT4.
I'm not sure I'd agree there because the GT4 is just about fast enough for a manual. So I
but
think
the
it's
gearing
okay
is
in a
so long.
Yes.
That it's harder to extract. I think the PDK opens that car up a little bit more.
Maybe.
My car, I enjoy the manual because I'm involved, but the
when you can get a gear.
I don't miss them that often.
Like stirring a pot.
Where is it? It's in there somewhere. I did miss one gear shift on the track day, which is the joke Tony's trying to make, but I left that out of the edit on purpose, so no one's laughing along. Anyway, it's a very nice car, so thank you for bringing it, and good for forcing your mate to bring his dad's car. Moving on, we have a Lotus Evora. Hands up. Is this the man I was talking to before? Yes, please, just pass the microphone. Now, I will allow this. Please, sir, I believe you are an automotive YouTuber.
I'm trying to be.
Do you want
we'll
to
get a different car then?
I've come here to try and convert you, Tony.
They said this to me, right? So I was chatting to them, a lovely chat. We're talking about it. And he goes, our mission today is convert Tony to a Lotus fan. I was like, oh my God, you've got better chances of I don't know what. But I mean, that is.
Give him birth.
Yeah. That's your worst nightmare, isn't
pretty
it?
Pretty much, mate. Yeah. I mean, like, without being derogatory, I'd rather have the Aston.
Yeah.
Well, have you driven an Evora?
Oh, he's trying now. God, this is going to go
wait
so badly.
A minute. Didn't we? Was that
we did Evora? We did a few. We did Evora. Which one did we do? We did a special one way back in the day. What was it? There was an.
I think you did an Evora 400.
I think we did an Evora 400.
My third series 1S.
And then so I did the GT 410 or the 4. What was it with the 430? No, 410. I took on the big road trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So what's the difference?
We did the 400. His is an S.
Right.
It's an early car, quite a luxurious, surprising GT car. Would you like to drive it this afternoon?
No, thank you, no. I'd rather put pins in my eyes.
I really like the enthusiasm from you. Good effort. Thank you for bringing it. It's a lovely colour, I have to say.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Well it won't rust, will it? A lot is still made out of...
wood?
No. Flipping hell. What are boats made out of?
Aluminium.
No, you're thinking fiberglass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No?
Fiberglass panels? That was the 4C, because when somebody crashed into it, it just looked like sort of paper had fallen apart.
You mean when you hit that van?
No, when the van reversed into me. Nice truck. Don't let him do that. Now he's going to run with that for months.
Piled into a van, he did.
I did not. I wasn't even there. My neighbour can prove to it. He spoke to the insurance company. Thank you for bringing it. I quit whilst you're ahead. I can see you're desperate to try and convince him some more, but I would quit while you're ahead.
Maybe have a look on Nightfall Drives YouTube if you want, Tony.
Oh, was that the channel?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Nightfall Drives.
Okay, well, that was... Yeah, go watch some of those videos. Maybe that will convince you. Everyone else should as well. we've got a very nice BMW M135i.
Yeah, like them.
The newest shape, grey car. HHO is the
Who's
plate.
Who's is that?
Oh, it's that idiot. Oh, no. Let's not talk about it. We don't want to talk about his car, do we?
Well, that counts as a company car.
It's a company car,
yeah,
isn't it?
That one is a company car.
Yeah.
It's for sale at the moment if anybody wants
Come on.
Go
away.
We are within our right to give this... We spoke earlier about people who come to every single event. This is one of the idiots. Yeah, yeah. So if you missed out on tickets, blame him. So you literally bought this car to advertise it. Is that what you did?
No, it was a bit too damp this morning to bring the U92 M3.
Okay, fair enough.
The E92 M3?
Why didn't you just say M3? Why'd you have to say E92?
This is not a new one, Tony.
Well, just say M3. You'd have been better off. The fact you said E92, you've lost all your credit.
Hold on. Even though we're here to mob you up, I will stand up for you a second because... I would definitely say I have a 992 GT3, but I think you would always just say you have a GT3, right?
Yeah, because I
just assume it's the
I
newest
care.
One because you're rich.
No,
as if you're gonna
not
have an
the
old
moment.
One.
I'm not. I'm about to go skin.
But would you never classify the model even with a Porsche?
No,
you wouldn't say I have a 718 GT4. You'd just say I have a GT4.
No, because I haven't got an ego. I don't care.
You haven't got an ego.
No,
but to be fair.
Most of the time, I don't know what the models are, so
I was
going to
say, I think that's
what
it
is. I just have that one.
Well, I do like that car. So even though you're here to just sell that it's advertised that
the
it's
the 135?
Yeah,
it's a great car.
It's a great car.
I was going to put a price board in it, but I left it at home.
Oh, we would have kicked you out at that point. who's coming the Bentley next to you? Is that not next to you, actually? Sorry, who's coming to the Bentley outside the cafe? Are they here?
What Bentley is it?
I knew it. So this is the problem. This happens at Podium every time. Because the cafe out front is so legit, they get the best cars.
Well, can
all
I have
all
a
the
look
worst cars come to our event. Look, it's an old 1990s. The plate is GRX. Blue Bentley. Yeah.
No, that's what you come in.
No, it's not. It's what my
he went to school in that car. Yes.
My dad's here.
Butler's here.
My dad came for a coffee. I'll Jeeves go and say hi to him afterwards. It's actually a beautiful car. You know, I like that era Continental, the big, long, two-door coupe Bentley. I bet they cost a bomb. You would never have sold Bentleys, would you?
No.
Did they ever pass through your doors?
Continentals, obviously new, the GTs.
New-shape Continental GTs, the 2010 cars or something.
Yeah.
But never this era.
I've got a terrible story about one of them.
Please.
Well, one of them basically blew up on me once.
Like the, what, like the Luton, Luton? Like the Luton Airport fire?
The V8 turbocharged one.
Right.
Blew up.
Okay.
Cost me 23 grand to fix it.
But when you say blew
feel
up...
Feel sorry for me, thank you.
No one feels sorry for you. Yeah. You're telling everyone how rich you are.
No. What,
wait, how did it blow up?
Well, I don't know, I weren't driving it.
What do you mean? Please expand, you're giving too little details.
The turbos went, basically. So okay. it was a used car that I sold, it was like a 2016, so it wasn't W12. Apparently they're bulletproof, the W12. But the V8s, they were weak. And it was a proper car, it was a one-owner car with 30,000 miles, all Bentley service history, lovely, lovely thing. The bloke had it literally 2 months, it let go.
Wow.
So I had to pay the
bill. What happens to, so you have to pay it off?
Of course, yeah.
Because it's under your warranty?
Well, because I'm a proper dealer, basically.
That's a disaster. Yeah. How often does that happen?
Not that often, thankfully. Yeah. That's why I sell warranty cars, manufacturer cars for that reason.
But surely, because a lot of that's under your control, right? You can sell a car thinking it's... Because it happened, I know a story with a GT4, that it was sold thinking it was all legit and the gearbox blew up 500 miles down the road.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hell for you, right? Because you don't see that coming. You're obviously selling the car in good spirit. No, good
faith.
Good faith, thank you. Oh, that phone call must have kicked you in the balls.
Yeah, and the warranty company that I used to deal with at the time... You wouldn't believe how much they wriggled not to pay it. But fundamentally, it always lands on the dealer. So I had to pay the money.
They must have thought you were trying to scam them, didn't they?
Well, I don't know, but yeah. So that's that.
Okay, moving on. There's a beautiful blue 993 with the plate VVU.
Who's Hands got that? Up?
I think it's another cafe. Oh, at the back. Thank God you came to our event. That's a stunning little car. Now, I think 993s are like, people are going crazy for 993s at the minute. Obviously, the last of the air-cooled. All my friends are getting them. The microphone's slowly making its way backwards, right at the back. But I've actually never driven a 993 generation. Tell me everything. So is this a standard car? Is it? What do we need to know?
It's an incredibly standard car. Unfortunately, it's an automatic. I'm very sorry about that.
But is that a disaster in the 993?
Yes.
Okay. What did they call it? Is it Tiptronic or it's before Tiptronic?
It's Tiptronic.
It is Tiptronic.
You have to wait a couple of hours to
send it an email.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Basically. It's a suggestion if you press one of the buttons.
How many gears?
All four of them.
All four? Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're just taking... Like, so what does first gear do? Are you like 50 miles an hour in first gear?
It does, actually.
Wow!
But it's great fun.
Do you love it despite this?
I love it. Yeah, it's great.
Okay.
There's a button by the gearbox that you press and it just clears all the faults.
Oh, perfect!
Everything is fine. Do not worry.
Red lights appear.
That's genius, actually. So our really good friend Benny from the Porsche Museum, who you may have seen in one of our main channel videos that we did, is an absolute hero and is genuinely a funny German, but that's because he's not German.
No, he's not German. No.
And obviously, you know, he loves Porsche and he gave us this tour of the museum and he's walking around. And I did warn him. I said, look, Tony is the worst person taking the museum. He's not going to care. And bless him, a bit like Lotus Man here, he was just trying to win Tony over. And he'd be like, oh, and then we had the 993. And Tony was like, this was a real disaster, this car. And Benny at times just was like, yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I can't really. Anyway, but it's very pretty. It's very, very pretty. And I love that you love it despite its apparent faults. So thank you for bringing it.
That is the best moustache I've ever seen.
Thank best moustache.
Well. That's amazing.
I can't see your moustache.
I mean, look.
Oh, look at. Oh, my God. That's
so many people
thick.
Looking at me now.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That is a chunky moustache. Is that in appropriation or not appropriation? My God. Is that heading towards Movember?
No.
Oh, that's a year round thing,
I've
is it?
I've had it for a few years.
Wow.
It's the 1 month of the year where it's like, oh, Movember.
You're going to shave it off?
No.
Yeah. Shave it off in November.
Yeah, that'll get him thinking.
Well, thank you for bringing your moustache and the car. Grey Giulia Quadrifoglio. Oh, yes. Oh, welcome back. Thank you again. Now, we have a fun story about Giulia Quadrifoglio. Did we all touch on the one that was on track with us in Red Bull Ring?
Oh, yeah.
That guy was a lovely guy. Have you tracked your Giulia Quadrifoglio? You have done as well. Did you survive? Have you replaced any parts?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Hold on a sec. Let's get the microphone to you. So I'll ask you again. Have you tracked your Giulia Quadrifoglio?
Yes, I have.
How did it go?
It was quite fun. I did have a few warning lights on the dash after it, but it was great fun.
Yeah. Did you go in the wall?
I went to Millbrook.
No, did you go in the wall?
No.
Oh.
So our friend did. we met a lovely guy at the Red Bull Ring, and he was giving it large. Like that's a quick car on track. I think would surprise most people how capable that car is on track, despite the fact it's a big, heavy saloon car.
But that's not heavy.
Well, no, but heavier than a little sports car that you would expect to see on track.
Yeah.
His brakes were constantly on fire. I don't know how your brakes got on, but every time he came in, he had like a hairdryer to cool off the brakes. And everything was breaking. And he said, oh, you know, it's super annoying because my last track day, well, I wrote the car off and I've had to rebuild it for the last year and I've come here and it's still falling apart. We're like, oh, good man.
Yeah, literally.
But yeah, you love that thing, don't you?
I've had it for just over a year now.
Well, you bought it when it was brand new, right, to one of our events last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Well, I'm glad to see it's still around and, as Tony says, not in a wall. So yeah, thank you for bringing it back. Beautiful. Ah, oh, this one. The Aventurine Green 992 GTS. Okay, so here we go. Here's an example. I said 992 GTS. If I just said 911 GTS, you would have gone, which one? Wouldn't you?
Yeah, but...
Yeah. That meant yeah.
That. Yeah. Yeah, but hold on a minute. Yeah. It's because we're having a conversation, but I'm not. It's not my car. So if someone's asking me what car I have, I'll just say the car.
Okay.
Like I said...
And then someone's going to go, oh, which generation? And they're going to have to go, oh, 992.
No, I'll just
if
say... Someone,
if I said to you, what car do you have? You went GT... Change the subject.
Yeah.
So if I said, what car have you got? GT3. And I went, oh, cool, like, which one? You're just going to go, well, have you watched the football?
Yeah, literally, yeah. Literally, yeah. Do you like F1?
This is a very unique GTS because it's basically de-badged and de-GTS'd. Is the owner willing? Here we go. If we can get the microphone. I think, is the microphone still at the back? No, here we go. Let's pass it. It's coming across to you here.
We need to get one of them big sticks, mate. We can just pass
I know.
It along.
But could you imagine you just bonking people on the head with it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what was the inspiration to de-GTSify your GTS?
I think I just didn't want to stand out. The first time I spec'd a GTS, I actually spec'd a bright yellow GTS with a wing.
But you didn't want to stand out.
No, yeah, that's very low key.
I thought, I'm 50, I really shouldn't be driving around in a bright yellow car with a wing. So I thought I'll go grey, debadged, and just keep it nice and subtle.
It's very subtle. It's got a lovely interior, which looks beige-ish. And you said you've even removed the lower suspension, so it's standard 911 suspension.
Yeah.
So it sits a little
higher. Because I didn't want it 10 millimetres lower, so it's at the correct height.
And with the manual gearbox.
Manual gearbox, yeah.
7-speed.
Yeah. Yes.
It was the most stupid car I've ever seen.
Great, great fun. I also took the rear seats out.
He just ignored you entirely.
Race car.
Great fun. Just ignored your comment.
See?
Well done,
you're
sir.
You're very good at it.
No, good on you. That's what I like to hear.
Thank
you.
You've
built great the car fun. That you wanted, and I appreciate that. And ignore this man's stupid comments.
Oh, because the other stupid thing that's inside is the... The taco is lime green, and the chronometer is lime green as well.
But you don't want to stand out.
He wants to stand out to himself.
When I'm sitting in the seat, I can see the lime green taco, and it looks amazing. But no one else can see it.
All right. Good, I like that. Now, look, bravo you. I'm obviously a big fan of speccing 911s for yourself rather than anyone else, because I've got a car no one else would want to buy. Moving on. So finally, we get onto my first Jag, given that I pumped up for not saying there was 1,000 Jags here. This looks like a new shape F-type. Is this the P450, the VER plate, blue... Right at the front here, so we can slowly make the microphone forward. So this is an all-wheel drive P450. We were obviously having a conversation about the fact that you'd considered a rear-wheel drive, but being the fact that we live in the UK, you didn't want to die every time you left the garage.
Exactly.
But you love this car, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's super.
That's a
car.
Stunner, mate. Come on, look at that front angle. Yeah. You like the new F-types, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they're great value. There are F-type R's, new F-type R's, P575s, like $55,000 now.
Yeah.
Outrageous-looking things, but... Yeah. I can understand the desire for the P450, not the big Larry one, but I'm just going to keep telling everyone, keep buying these cars because they're good
news.
Is
that a V6 one?
No, it's the lesser powered V8 with a chip that you can put up, but it's they'll do a rear wheel drive or an all wheel drive P450 or the full all-wheel drive P5SM5. I've just become that guy in a pub who goes, the funny thing about the F-Type is...
Yeah, I just bored
myself. Yeah. Thank you for bringing it. Beautiful car. I'm glad you're so happy.
Thank you for actually doing a vlog, a video on it as well.
Can you please tell Jaguar that so I can get some commission, because they keep ignoring my emails. Now, there are two GR Yaris's.
They're good cars.
They are absolutely stunning cars. Matching spec. Have they come together?
Obviously.
No. You just parked together because you were like, yeah, cool. Yeah. It's an unofficial members meeting. I feel like you see a lot of these on the road.
Well, there are
you?
A lot of them, yeah.
There are a lot of them,
yeah,
aren't
there? Yeah, made millions.
Are you like, yeah, sick, mate, like, we get it. Like, when you... Who's the other owner, by the way? We've got GST and DGB on the plates. Is the other owner here?
That's Podium.
Oh, it's Podium.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. So, but if you, like, would you, like... Do you have a secret handshake? Are you like...
flash the lights.
Yeah, flash the lights.
I think it's it seems like a fairly normal machine, and you've got to know what it is.
Oh, okay.
And I absolutely love driving it. It's sure. not the fastest thing in the world unless you're on a wet B road.
Mega in the wet, that car.
Yeah, I just love it. Just love the involvement of driving it.
But going back to the cult, are you like... yes, mate. Is there a general...
Yeah. Yeah, there is, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
It's an appreciation.
Have you ever waved? So if you go past somebody else in an M3 Touring, are you like...
Mate, I don't wave at my mum. I don't wave at anyone. I hate people. No.
Yeah, embarrassingly, I do it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you really?
I do. If I was in the 360 and I saw another Ferrari, I'd be like...
Really?
A morning, sir.
Yeah.
And if I'm in a... I do it with all the Porsche people. I even do it because, like... This is showing my ego to be bad. If I'm in the GT3 and I see someone like a 987 Boxster, I'm like, morning, mate. Because, you know, it's like, oh, yeah. We're the same people.
Yeah, well, what you're really thinking is work a bit harder. I've got a GT3.
No, what?
Yeah, that's really what's going for his head.
What I'm really thinking is, why are they not waving back?
Because of the colour.
Beautiful orange SVR with the great plate SV12 Fun. That is, I love that. That's amazing. Right at the front here. That is a beautiful car. Now, there's nothing negative about your car. I do think the SVRs might be good news moving forward. Now, bear with me before you just jump down my throat.
No, I'm not going to.
Because the direction Jaguar are about to go in, and it's going to be a very different direction, and supposedly we're not going to see any very new combustion engine vehicles, I think the SVR will be looked back on like... I don't know what, but I think it could be the one to kind of hold its money best out of all the F-types. I'm not telling you it's going to be a 150 grand car, but I think it's a good
That'd
story.
Be nice. That'd be nice. Yeah. I'm glad I've got a garage.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Keep it safe. Yeah. Yeah. How many miles has it got on at the moment?
Just over 11. So it's
stop driving it. That's a bloody, you know, that's a barn find and a half. Wow.
11 miles?
No, 11,000. Oh. Yeah. It was 11 miles. What are you doing?
Where's your garage? Around the corner. Yeah, yeah.
Actually, we're going to come on to 11 miles cars in a moment. But anyway, beautiful. What's the official name of that colour?
Fire sand.
Fire sand.
Yeah,
that's
so
a really
launch,
nice.
The launch colour.
It's a beautiful colour, I have to say. Yeah, I'm a big fan of those. That's an absolute winner. S15, do you want us to talk about...
Yeah, come on. Where are you?
He's at the back.
Get the mic up to him.
Now, I would say they're bronze or gold wheels. Last time we and you called them brown, and you said that you're very upset that they're still brown because you were worried the fact that we were going to talk about the fact they're brown. Why are they still brown?
I don't know. Because I haven't had Tony ripping into me enough, I guess.
Yeah, now you're going to go home and say, oh, I should definitely paint them black. I still like the brown wheels.
I'd call it rust.
Yes.
Yeah. Probably rust to go with the car.
It's a cool car, this car.
Yeah. I mean, if you like that sort of thing. Not for me, thank you.
I just brought it to wind Tony up. Keep his blood pressure up. Keep him firing all cylinders.
Keep me going, yeah. Save me from getting heart attack.
Datsuns.
but they are good at drifting, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. That's what it is
on
primarily
purpose?
Used for. Yeah, it's
purposeful
hard to find
drifting.
Good condition.
Okay, yeah, not F12 TDF drifting, which is always accidental. Well, thank you for bringing it, and thank you for keeping the wheels brown or rusty. There is a very nice RS3... Is it green? JBG?
Yeah.
That's a green one?
Yeah, camera green.
You never told me it was green.
Wait,
that's amazing.
Let me see.
We go way back.
Oh, wow.
Way back to Le Mans.
Le Mans?
Yeah, and beyond that. Were you actually in Paul's video in the end?
I don't think so.
No.
I didn't watch it.
Okay.
Well, no one else.
No one else does. So not everyone else. I mean, does anyone know Paul Wallace is now?
Jack, please edit that into a reel. Please, that is definitely a reel. That's unbelievable. So whilst we were at Le Mans, we were working with Peugeot. We had to do this challenge of like completing these 15 tasks whilst we were there the 24 hours. And one of them was like to meet, I think it was like a fan of a rival team or something, or something like that. And literally we started chatting because, is it your friend who, well, basically ran my wedding?
Yeah.
So we were just making small talk. And then Paul was like, oh, I've got an idea. Can you pretend like you're a fan of Supercars London? And you're basically like, what is that? Yeah. But that's beautiful. Green RS3.
Yeah.
And that generation is because the new one's so intense. It's all the money. It's all the money and it's all the power. And I'm a bit like, I like the new one.
It's all the power. It's the same as the old one.
Is it? No, it's not.
But about 10 horsepower difference.
It's got the stage one map.
This has got a stage one map. Okay, yeah. Well, we've just ruined all
that's
of my arguments there. So it's a really, really fast one. But I like the wheels. Anyway, let's move on. It's super nice. So thank you for coming along, mate. Nice to see you again. Two cars that we're going to wrap things up with. A very nice grey 992 Targa, which is covered in rain. So it got really wet by the time
we took
the
film. I know whose car that is. Where are you?
Down here at the front. Absolute stunner. We had this conversation. Now, the thing is, right, let's get the room to back you up here. Because we had this chat last time. This lovely gentleman came to an event. We'll pass the microphone slowly forward. And he was saying, does he go for a 992 Targa or a Boxster Spider is what you were considering at the time, right? He went with the Targa. Great decision. Do we not all agree? Everyone look at my face. Do we not all agree? He should also get a Spider. Yeah? Let's put our hands up if we all think he should get a Spider. So his wife is here and has been saying he shouldn't, but now I think you have to understand he should. There you go, mate. I try to help you out as much as I can.
Thank you.
But you're happy with the car?
Amazing car, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful car. How often do you get the roof down? Like, would you, again, no, it's raining right now, but would you do it on a cold, chilly morning or you keep it up most of the time?
Yeah, as long as it's dry, I don't mind, but it does get a bit drafty, but...
It does get dry. I've never driven a Targa.
Just heat everything up and just take the roof off.
His wife's got her hat on in preparation for him to put the
roof on. That's on the way back, Tony.
The way back. Well, thank you for coming. And I think you've made a fantastic choice. I'm a big fan of that.
Just need a Spider now.
Just need the Spider. I agree. And it's apparently so the whole room. So, you know, you can't deny him what he wants. Wait, she's asking for the microphone. Watch out.
458 downstairs. I think that's really nice.
Oh, she's pro the Ferrari.
Also Foco.
Okay, go for the Ferrari. Anyone from Podium? He's coming to make a deposit in a moment. So, and the final car that we'll include in this section is a beautiful E30. But is it actually an M3 or is it a sort of evocation of an M3? Ending plate HDR, are you even here? Well, shout out to the guy at the cafe who's bought the beautiful... Well, no wonder he's not on our event. Apologies if we didn't include the car. My riders say after this, feel free to come and grab us and take us over to admire your car. Now, a couple of bits to talk about. Staying on the BMW theme, both of us independently this week drove the new i5. Who's heard the radio advert or like the TV advert, like the latest generation i5 with genius technology? Like they're playing i5 adverts everywhere. This is a car, I feel like they're pushing the i5 hard.
Yeah.
So I went to an actual BMW press event, which was like their electric showcase, and had every electric product. It was quite cool. I saw the new Mini Electric, which I'm still a fan of. Where did you drive the car?
Gatwick.
Oh, you went back to Vines?
Yeah.
And you drove the M60?
Yeah, the
which
fast
was
one.
The same as me. So we both drove top level i5 M60, which is circa £110,000 once spec'd up. Am I right on that? I'm looking at my BMW guys. Circa 110 spec'd up. So, you know, cheaper than a Taycan, cheaper than some other super luxe EVs, but it's probably the top end of your EV saloon.
Yeah.
But we both really liked it, right? Hold on, do not do this to me. Wait, have I got a voice note? I'll find one.
No, there's no voice note.
What are you backing out about
now? No, it's not that we really liked it. It's that you really liked it.
Oh, I hate you so much.
You rang me up.
You rang me up. You rang me up.
And you missed my call.
Yeah, so I rang you back.
And then that's when we spoke, right?
And I said, I've seen your story that you're in an i5. You went, that's why I was calling.
That's why I was calling you.
To say, I really like it. Go on, but now change your mind and pretend like you hated it.
No, it's a very, very good car.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good car. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think the best electric car I've driven with the Taycan...
A lot. So you think it's as good as a Taycan?
It's as good as a Taycan.
Sure.
But cheaper.
Yep.
The biggest compliment I can probably give it is just it was a really
It was just a good car.
Agreed.
But everything new is good now. The problem I have with it is that the petrol engine or the lower electric car will be just as good for £30,000 cheaper.
So they're doing one petrol engine in the UK, right? Is it a 520 or 540? 520. So it's a little tiny petrol engine.
Fine.
Don't. You're a little overexcited there.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah. No. What I'm saying is don't get ahead of yourself. Right. The i5, the new 5 Series, it's just a lovely car. Mm. It's a lovely car, like all 5 Series ever have been, should be. And when you're just pootling around and just enjoying it as a saloon, you're right. The EV and the petrol will probably be very, very similar.
Yeah.
The M60 Larry one that we drove was a very good dynamic EV, but how often are you going to be driving it like that? Because surely, as we all know, once you start driving an EV hard, you're depleting range.
Yeah.
So aren't you just going to drive that car around as a commuter pretty casually, at which point save 30 grand, 40 grand and get the petrol car? You're then also going to be able to refuel quicker. Like, this is the debate, right? If you're going to offer both a petrol and electric of the same model, it is a hard thing to justify, I think.
Well, I genuinely come out of the car, and this is all seriousness, I genuinely come out of the car and thought to myself, would I have that car over my M3? Mm-hmm. Probably similar speed, very similar inside, apart from you in a 3 Series instead of a 5 Series, but all the tech's all the same.
It's newer tech in the i5.
Yeah, but it's not night and day, mate. It's still got the
big
screen.
It's an evolution forward, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, steering wheel slightly different, and there's a few little bits and pieces.
There's loads of advanced driving stuff. All the augmented reality, the roundabouts and stuff.
I only drove it for half an hour, 40 minutes. You probably played with it more than me. I was just interested to see the driving experience. Mm-hmm, I'm not interested in all that tech crap. I just want to drive
what
the car.
Sells cars, but go on.
Yeah, well, it does nowadays. That's true, yeah, but I just want to drive the car.
Sure. You're a real driver, huh? Love manuals.
No. Flipping manuals. How many fast cars have manuals in them now?
Gordon Murray, T50.
Yeah. And what do you think of that car?
Go on.
So I walked away from it thinking, would I have that i5 over my M3? And the answer is no, because it's just the car.
Yeah.
The M3 is just more
series
special.
Always, aren't 5 Series just a great saloon?
Like an M5's not.
No. Hold on a sec. I said 5 Series, not M5. What's, I didn't say M5.
That is a 5 Series, no?
Yeah, but that's an M product. 3 Series, M3, different thing.
Yeah.
So the 5 Series, just the standard 5 Series, is just about being a great car.
Yeah, but I was comparing it to performance, which is
why... But I don't think an M60... Sorry, and I've forgotten all the names of all these stupid cars. The top i5 is not an M5 rival. It's an M product electric, but it's not an M5 rival. The... there's not an equivalent in anything else in the BMW range. There's not another M. No. So M5 and i5 M60s, that's not a...
No, fair. But if you compare my car, my Touring, to an i5, in terms of price and performance, they're similar. That's why I compare them.
Oh, fine. So you're comparing it to an M3.
Correct.
Sorry. Okay, fine. Sorry.
That's what I come out thinking.
Fine.
Would I swap this car? Yeah. Great car. Would I swap it for my current car? No, I wouldn't.
Fine. Okay, no, fair enough. From that point of view, because we like more performance-focused, and you're right, the i5 is, I would say, 90% just a great daily car.
But it is performance-focused,
mate. Of course.
It's bloody fast.
It's bloody, bloody fast.
Really,
but I just
fast.
Think, as with it being an EV and all those elements, it's at its best, I think, in its daily usability,
yeah.
I think. I don't know if it makes sense in the full. Because, how Larry are you going to drive an electric car?
But Larry, are you going to drive an M3? You still have it?
I've seen you drive it pretty Larry.
Yep.
I hopefully going to be spending a lot more time around an i5. BMW are very keen to lend me one for quite a big chunk of time, and I'm very keen to do so now that I've...
Really?
Driven, yeah, 100%. They're offering to give me a big old chunky loan. Let's hope they don't renege on that. But
a little bit of a problem with the range. The range isn't very good on them, is it?
I had an 80% charge with 185 miles.
Yeah, so is it, 220?
I think real world, you're 210, 220. Like
in the cold, 170?
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible.
I mean, I think, with all of these, it's always hard to kind of work out exactly what you're going to be doing, and you don't want to have to start turning stuff off to extend your range, because if you're
all
in
that
a big,
tech, you can't
all
use
that
it.
Tech, yeah, you can't use it. So, I don't know, but that's why I want to live with one. That's why I want to live with them, because that is supposed to be a usable, dailyable saloon.
By the way,
the tech that BMW are pushing really hard, and if actually... it's not as attractive or usable as the 520, then they've shot themselves in the foot a little bit.
Yeah. By the way, there was a, just quickly, there was a boost button in this thing. Mm-hmm. It's M60.
It's a paddle, like a gear shift paddle.
I mean, flipping out scared the life out of me. Yeah. So I had it in sport, pushed this boost button that's behind the steering wheel. Honestly, I thought I was in a rocket.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah.
It literally, I thought, flipping, that's way too fast.
Way too fast. Yeah. That's a crash or two, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, remember when the Taycan went through the dealership window? I think that was a stunt, but it's going to be that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a cool
yeah.
car, though. Anyway, I want to move on. We talked about potentially an F-Type SVR with 11 miles. We turned out it had 11,000. But in general, how do I phrase or ask this question? Delivery mileage cars, right? How often in the automotive world, especially on social media, things like, do we see like delivery mileage McLaren F1? Oh my God, it's a delivery mileage Ferrari Enzo. When you hear delivery mileage, put your hands up if that like excites or intrigues you. Like, are you amazed by delivery mileage? Put your hands up. If you think what an absolute disaster and a shame, put your hands up. Yeah, the whole room. So that brings me on to RM Sotheby's upcoming auction. So RM Sotheby's always do a London auction each year. Usually that's pretty amazing stuff. I went to one last year or 2 years ago, which had an incredible collection of Ferraris there. Beautiful 550 Barchetto. I fell in love with a load of different stuff. This year, they've got how many cars in the total thing? I can't see how many, but it's coming across from a Singapore-based enthusiast who owns a whole load of cars that essentially are all delivery mileage. Let me read out some of these cars, because some of them you're like, wow. And then some of you are like, what? So let's kick off with one of three factory Testarossa Spiders.
Cool.
That's pretty unbelievable.
Yep.
And that's got 570 kilometers on the odometer. Mm-hmm. Now that I understand, right? One of three. That's some huge Ferrari collector's going to buy that. They're never going to drive it. It's going to sit there. It's just like, well, Ferrari made these three spots. Like, I sort of half understand. It's a piece of art.
Same bloke who owns all these cars.
Yeah, same bloke. All right. These cars are coming up together in one auction. So you're like, okay, like, I think we can accept delivery mileage, Testarossa Spider. Then we come on to, very interestingly, an XJ220. There's actually one just downstairs here at Podium. And let me just find the mileage. I'm scrolling. Give me 2 seconds because I've got to get past all the Ferraris first. And the XJ220 has 46 miles on the clock.
From new.
This is like a brand new XJ220. Now, this I understand far less. I mean, because they were always a bit of a disaster car, like, it wasn't always. Now they're getting appreciated more and more, right? The values are starting to go up, but I think that's a car to drive. Like, who's getting an XJ220 and just looking at it? Like,
not him.
Somebody, this guy, I mean, but this guy, just you wait. Because, like, okay, some of these big hitters, I do think they kind of make sense. But let's go back up to the Ferrari list, because you're going to laugh at some of these. So 550 Barchetto, I mentioned, 220 kilometres since new. So that's actually, alongside the Challenge Stradale, 550 Barchetto is one of my all-time dreams. But 220 kilometres since new. The problem is, right, if you buy one of these cars, you can't drive it. No. Unless you're a gazillionaire and you just don't care, you're going to be paying a premium because someone else hasn't driven it. And then you're going to sit in it and go, well, if I drive it, I'm going to lose a ton of money. What inspires this? But it gets better. It gets so much better. 599 GTB, not a GTO, just a GTB. 267 kilometres on the clock.
Find me another one. There won't be another one of them.
But these two are the best in my mind. 2007 Ferrari F430 with 104 kilometres on the clock. It's not manual. It's not a Scuderia. It's just a standard F430, 104 kilometres. But the best one of them all, and this is up your street, Tony, 2010, Gen 1, Ferrari California with 79 kilometres on the clock.
I bought them.
Who's buying that car?
Yeah.
Like, which Ferrari collector sits there and goes, oh, you know what's missing from my collection? A brand new Ferrari California.
Well, maybe he had to buy that car to get something else. And he just
thought... I'll just keep it,
yeah.
I mean...
Or maybe he forgot about it. Some people forget about
him. I think this is the thing. I think he had so many cars, he probably just genuinely forgot.
Yeah, he forgot, yeah.
But look, I mock and I laugh because I think it is... I think we struggle, right? As enthusiasts, we want to drive these cars. It's hard for us to imagine having amazing cars and not driving them. We forget that... Cars are now an asset class for investment. People all around the world are pumping money into vehicles because they're genuine investment opportunities, and they do tend to go up. Now, I can't imagine that Ferrari California is going to be, this guy's thinking, this is going to make me a ton of cash. But you never know, and I think the estimate on the car is, where we go, hold on a sec, £100,000 to £150,000, and Gen 1 Californias tend to be 60.
Yeah.
So, you know... Actually, he's done all right there, and he's probably going to half get his money back. But there are some amazing cars in here. That TR Spider, for sure. There's a couple of other Testarossas in there, some with a few more miles.
XJ220 will make a fortune.
XJ220 will make a fortune. Yeah. There's a standard 550 Maranello with 132 kilometres on the clock, which is insane. A 348 TS with 179 kilometres on the clock. But there's some more used examples. There's a Dino. There's an E-Type in there. A Bentley Turbo R. That's 741 kilometres. I mean, as I say, I think it's hard for us to justify, because also, if you're buying a car, I spoke to Max Chilton about this, actually. I think he was considering, or he did buy, a 599 GTO with delivery mileage. He said, all I want to do is drive the car, but I can't. I'm screwed. It was an investment piece. Now, if we were all sitting here and we had the money to invest in vehicles and you had the ability to buy a delivery mileage LaFerrari 3 years ago, and you're now going to sell it today for £1 million profit, hands up, wouldn't we all do that?
Genius.
£1 million profit, you're going to do it. Yeah. So it's hard for us not, because we're not in this world. I'll be fascinated to see the results of this. So today, the auction is on at the weekend. So on Saturday, it must be the 4th of November. So maybe we'll pick up on the results in a future episode. But you can watch along on the auction. If you're listening to this prior to the 4th of November, you can go and check it out. But
I actually think the best collectors are not enthusiasts, because they buy with their head and not their heart.
Well, you had a friend, right, who bought a Carrera GT who wasn't an enthusiast.
I mean, he liked cars, but it was literally an investment.
And if you're investing...
Never drove it.
Delivery mileage is what you want, right? You want the lowest mileage example if you're actually investing.
For sure, yeah.
So it's... I don't think we can view these cars in the same way. It's the same as, like, I don't get art. I'll just put my hands up to that. There's some amazing art here at the paddock. But, like, I don't get the point in a Picasso. But there are people out there paying tens of millions of pounds for Picasso. Yeah, yeah. Like it's a business at that point. And some of them aren't even into art, but they're just into money.
Yeah.
I'm surprised over the years you haven't tried to dabble in a few investment-grade cars.
Well, it's hard for me to do it, because me's all about turning the money over.
You would take the first offer that was over what you paid, basically.
Of course, yeah, because I just get myself into something else. There's always another car.
Is there anything that has crossed your desk that you've thought... Because what did you tuck away at Cosworth, didn't you?
I had Cosworth, I had a 205 GTR, I had Renault 5 turbos, I had loads of stuff.
But you tried to do it with the 997 GT3 as well, that point two. You thought, I'll have this for 6 months and see what happens, when the market was flying.
Yeah.
Do you remember that white car?
I completely remember it. But again, I like to drive my cars. Yeah. I had one of them V6 Clios as well. The SLS Merc that I had.
Well, they would have been good news at one point.
Would have been good news now. But the thing is, like, what I got for that car 10 or 12 years ago, I've spun the money so many times. For me, it doesn't make too much sense.
10 times more.
Not really, but what I'm saying is that it just makes more sense. Some dealers, they'll sell, like, cheaper stuff. The biggest independent dealer in the country, he's a car supermarket, he's got a wicked collection of private cars. So everyone does it different. Some people invest in property. Everyone does it different.
Has anyone here ever bought a car as a sort of speculated investment? Like, bought a car, held it for 5 years and tried to sell it? Anyone done that? Anyone had a car? It's hard. Dodgy. How'd that work out for you, mate?
But you bought it back.
Yeah. What about anyone selling a car that has then gone four times higher in value? Anyone wish that they'd hit... Okay, we've got someone at the back. Microphone, where's the microphone? Can we get the microphone? Moving the microphone backwards. What was the car that you owned?
It was the Mark 1 Golf GTI.
Ah, and when did you sell it?
In 2000.
2000?
I've had it for 5 years, best car I've ever had.
Okay, and if you'd kept it today, 40 grand, 50 grand? No.
Probably 20.
Probably 20 grand, okay. And you sold it for?
2.
Yeah.
But it had just been to
Anglesey. How would you have known? I mean, in 2000, I mean, oh, this mate. Is the thing, right? Like, we can all kick ourselves. I meet so many F40 owners, oh, I sold an F40 for 200 grand. Yeah, but you didn't, at that time, that's what the value was.
Yeah.
It's hard to know, but as I say, that's what I'll be fascinating to see. I'm 100% most keen to see what the Gen 1 California does at that auction. But I think that, you know, the TR Spider is going to go for.
But he's going to sell them as a package, so overall he's going to be quids in, isn't he?
Well, no, but there's enough collectors out there. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. Someone will want a California because what it represents to the Ferrari story.
Yeah.
You know, we're sitting here mocking it, but there'll be some collector out there who'll pay all the money.
There is, genuinely, mate, there is genuinely people out there who've got so many cars, they don't know. Yeah. How many cars they've got. He's literally probably just forgot about that car.
I am certain Jay Leno walks through his warehouse every now and again and goes, oh my God!
No
clue.
Yeah.
I think Schmee does the same, actually. Did you see that picture the other day of Schmee's museum? And I was like, I didn't even know he had half these cars. I don't think he does.
No, probably not.
Comes home every day and goes, oh my God, they bought something else. Right, let's move on to the Q&A. So hopefully you've all prepared some juicy questions. We always like juicy questions, so kind of make them more aggressive as possible. Who's got the microphone at the moment? There we go. Who's got the first question? Oh, here we go. Let's move across here. Does anyone want to buy my BMW M135i? We will
it's not.
Mute your microphone. Please.
So this is a question for both of you. Based on the Figaro that you drove at the last live event at BMW.
The Figaro that Tony went for a passenger ride in, but go on.
Would you rather drive that or the Lotus?
Okay, so the question is, just in case you didn't listen to our last live event, someone bought a Nissan Figaro that they were made to buy by their girlfriend. And
She bullied him,
and then Tony went for a ride around the car park in it. So would you rather drive that somewhere or the Lotus? Where's the road trip? Go on, make the road trip interesting.
Scotland, North Coast 500.
Lotus. I mean, I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
Tesco's car park.
The Figaro. For sure. Yeah.
Good question though. I mean, I'm the same as Tony there. But yeah. Next up, hands up. We'll move forward to the Lotus owner. Dangerous, yeah.
Really?
Of all the cars you've both never driven, what are you most desperate to drive, apart from the Evora, obviously?
Do you want me to go, what you think?
Yeah, you go.
Zonda. I've
driven by them.
No, you haven't.
My best mate had one. Of course I've driven
You drove
one.
A Zonda?
Oh, sorry, Zonda. I thought you meant Enzo. Stupid man.
Classic. Yeah. Doesn't know anything pre-2015.
No, because it sounds similar, doesn't it?
If Zonda you are it. Younger than 40, put your hands up. Of the... Nice try, Tony. Of those people, put your hands up if the Zonda is one of your kind of poster cars. Actually, only about half of you. I don't know what. I think generationally, whilst the Zonda has been renowned to being probably a bit crap, for me, that's kind of a bit of an elusive car. Like, it's a Zonda. Like, you know, even Lewis Hamilton says it's a load of crap, and he had one of the best ones for a long time. And I don't think I will love the driving experience, but it's just a poster car. Like a lot of people want to drive a Countach. Countach is one of the worst cars to drive, arguably in the world, until you're like really ragging its neck. But people don't care because it's a poster car. And for me, Zonda is one of those. There are lots of other ones that I could put on the list, but it's my go-to whenever any of these DK engineerings or whoever say, like, what's on your list? Like, what can we try and help arrange for you? I'm like, Zonda. The fact they're worth about 15 million means that the opportunities are becoming fewer and farther between. Go on, what have you thought of now?
Valkyrie.
You know what? Someone laughed, but I actually don't think that's an impossible dream at the minute. I met another Valkyrie owner the other day. Like, lots of Valkyries are getting delivered, and to quite a few people that we know and quite a few listeners. So any Valkyrie owners out
Please,
there?
Please, can I drive one?
You know what's interesting?
On track.
I'll mention this story now. Apparently, there's a big software upgrade for that car, which transforms the car entirely. Mm. That's the word on the street, that the initial software was a bit glitchy. You get a big software upgrade, and the guy I met takes his daughter to school in it.
Yeah.
How unbelievable
does
is
he?
That? Yeah. And he said the reason why is the lift system. There's speed bumps on the driveway into the school, private school, obviously, Valkyrie. The lift system is so quick that it's not embarrassing because he's got lots of other nice cars. And if he goes in something, it's like, and he has to wait and do all the speed. The Valkyrie goes up.
Does it?
Yeah, just rides all the speed bumps, drops his kid off, and off he goes.
Yeah, very cool.
Absolute hero.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. There was someone just next to you. There we go.
Given you're still looking for a classic car, Sam, and you may or may not be looking to replace your 360.
No.
Would you ever consider a Koenig Special Ferrari?
No. Sorry, I thought you were going to say, would you get like a real classic to replace? No.
Would you get a car that works?
The Koenig Special really doesn't appeal to me. I'm such a gimp for Ferrari and such a like, it's got to be OEM. I really dislike factory cars. I think the Koenig Specials, I didn't take enough cocaine at any point in my life to kind of go like, that thing looks amazing. It's definitely of its era and it's got that kind of vibe. I also don't think, why I thought you were going with that question is I don't think I will replace the 360 with anything older than the 360. The hunt for a classic is a kind of ongoing thing. I've got one thing really in my mind. The 356 is still the leading contention, but I now have the 360 to replace is the big thing on my mind. And then I've got to be realistic that some point next year the F-Pace SVR is going to go back to Jaguar, so I'm going to have to think about it. So there's always something else that I need to get before I get the classic. So at some point I need to shut up and put my money where my mouth is. But
well, the Roma's not a classic.
Okay, moving on. Why do I do social media with this idiot? Thank you for the question, though. Next up, somebody else. Let's come forward here. Red hoodie. So I'm going to start identifying people by clothing.
So of all the cars that you've driven throughout your careers, what are your favourites for like the different engine types? So like 3-cylinder, 4-cylinder, and so on.
I think we both agree on this,
and
don't
why?
We?
V8.
Yeah, V8.
Yeah.
I think we speak about it quite a lot, actually. V8s are both of our favourites. You said and why. So what's your reasoning for V8?
I could never really put my finger on it, but yeah, I just always, if a mid-engine V8, probably just because of Ferrari, probably.
I like the fact that you can have such variation of a V8, that C63 can be such a leery, brutish thing. You can have Mustangs and things like that through to Speciales, through to, you know, Turbo, like whatever. What's the engine that you're most disappointed by regularly?
Oh, that's a good question. Lotus.
No. I mean, you walked into that with the whole of all the chat. What's the engine?
Well, Lotus engine.
What, Toyota V6?
Yeah.
No, but, okay, so a V6 in general. I was not asking a specific engine. I mean, of the question of 4-cylinders, V6s, like, what one do you always think is going to be great? And then whenever you get behind the wheel, you're a bit like, meh.
Oh, I'll tell you what is a really dead engine. The C43 engine in the Merc.
So what's that? A turbo V6?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Why are you laughing? Have you got a C43? No.
We both hate the C43.
Yeah.
Okay, but you're still avoiding my question.
Am I?
Yeah, because I don't want a specific engine. I want an engine type. We both said we like V8s.
Oh, okay.
So you've just mentioned two V6s. So I think your answer's a V6, actually.
3-cylinder.
You just mentioned two V6s, then?
Yep, no, because...
Well, how many 3-cylinders do you go like, oh, this is going to be lovely, get in it and go, this is crap. You just don't like a 3-cylinder full stop.
Yeah, I don't like a 3-cylinder full stop, yeah.
Okay, so...
And apart from the Jamera.
Apart from the Jamera. You're regretting that you cancelled that now, aren't you? I V12. I'm going to come out and say it.
Really?
Every time I get in a V12, I think, bloody V12 is exciting. And then I'm always a bit like, Apart from 599 GTO, F12 TDF, and all the big ones.
Apart from.
And there's something else that I'm thinking of. Probably the 812, the Novatec exhaust. I think a Ferrari V12... But a Rolls Royce V12 bores me.
Yeah.
Name a few others.
No. So you like V12s then?
No, I don't. I always think I'm going to like a V12 and I'm always disappointed by a V12. I'm never disappointed by a V8. V6s I'm indifferent about. But V12s I'm often disappointed with. I don't know why. Because they're smooth. They're very rarely like, I like something a bit edgy. Yeah. They're just so buttery smooth. Anyway, next question. Just next to you. Oh my God, we didn't do this. Did you talk to these guys?
Briefly.
No, oh my God. Yet. No, we're doing it now. Everyone's going to give these people a standing ovation because this is no joke. They have come from New York and Denver for this event. They landed on Friday. They're leaving on Sunday. Everyone, I mean, that is...
Oh, wow.
Twiggy just thought we were all applauding for her. She was like, what? I'm giving you a refund, by the way.
So, Tony, you weren't controversial enough, so I might need a refund from you.
Yeah, you weren't happy enough that they traveled so far.
So being from the US, I have to ask, How does it feel to have Jerry Seinfeld as a fan?
That's unreal,
and are there any plans to possibly do a video with him?
Tony didn't know who Jerry Seinfeld was.
No, I do now.
Well, you do now. When yeah. I was like, mate, Jerry like watches my channel, and she was like, what does he do? I don't actually know if Jerry listens to the podcast, to be fair. If you listen to the podcast, I'm also calling him Jerry like he's an old friend of mine now. Mr. Seinfeld, if you listen to the podcast, thank you. And I'm so sorry that Tony's such an imbecile. So if you don't know about this and you don't know who Jerry Seinfeld is, huge US comedian. And I think arguably made the most from a TV show of any... Anyway, let's not get into that. Huge Porsche collector, and a podcast a couple of years ago said that he was a fan of Seen Through Glass, which was a real unbelievable moment for me. Twiggy, where are you going? Stay still. Sit down. We have spoken through third parties, but not directly through Spike. I would love to do something with Jerry. I'd like to have him on the podcast so that he can tell Tony who he is.
No, I know who he is now.
Of course you do now.
Yeah.
I would also love to obviously... do something with some of his cars. I mean, I would do anything. So, Jerry, if you are listening...
what, anything?
Literally anything.
Like,
I would mop his floors. but no, like, in all seriousness, just get a coffee. We would fly to New York to come hang out. So, yes, of course, we would love to do something with Jerry. But he might not want to do anything with us. So, we respect that. Anything else? Come on, give us another American question. Give us a Denver question. Come on, something. What's an American car that we should experience?
Oh, we've done that, mate.
You hate American cars. All Americans hate American cars.
Yeah, they do,
what's
yeah.
the most appealing thing about European car culture, or what's a destination in Europe you want to go to?
I haven't been to Monaco yet.
Oh,
no, that's very cliche. Don't
super mean, cliche. Monaco. Twiggy, can you come back on your bed?
I've been to Monaco yet.
Okay, well, go to Monaco. Tony hates it, so you can have a nice time.
If you've not been, it's cool, though, mate.
I think so, for the yeah. first time. What do yeah. you drive in? You're in New York, so do you drive?
I live in Manhattan, so yeah, I don't have a car.
You don't drive at all?
At home, my parents have an X5 and a Macan. So okay. I have some decent stuff to drive when I'm home.
SUVs take over, yeah.
But yeah, so nothing too sporty.
Anything in Denver?
His family has.
You're both wearing Porsche merch, so I hope yeah. that someone's got a Porsche. Yeah.
I daily at F-150, big American truck.
Sick.
Yeah, pretty
you love those. You love
I want to come and hang out with him.
Yeah.
yeah.
What's the Porsche thing? You just love Porsche?
Yeah, love okay. Porsche. My dad's got a C4.
Amazing. Is it the big dealership in Colorado Springs? Is that where the big dealership is? Yeah. So we're just like connecting about American ideas.
Sorry, everyone.
Feel free to go and get a coffee. We'll be back in a second. Yeah. They've got a big dealership there, huh?
Yeah, we went to the celebration.
75th anniversary of Colorado Springs. Yeah, yeah. That's a cool place. We've got to do more US stuff next year.
We should, yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for the effort. Honestly, you're absolute heroes for coming. You're also insane. Like, I don't know what you're doing here, and you make jet lag look real easy. So well done. Next question, please. We'll make our way back across the room.
Hey, can you see a future where somebody makes an EV that has some soul and is actually fun to drive? And who do you think that manufacturer could be?
Well, he thinks he's found one already.
There's a big debate coming out on my main channel. He's speaking about the Abarth 500E. But I've said many times before, I think the Porsche Boxster EV, the Boxster E is going to be the one, I think. Mm.
Do you think they'll have some soul in it, though? Because the Taycan, as good as it is, mate, it's not really... I mean, it is a Porsche and it feels like a Porsche to drive, but it hasn't really got any soul.
Okay, so to cannibalise my own video, this was my summary with Abarth, right? For an EV, and feel free to nod or get involved, but I think the way manufacturers are having to engineer in soul and character is in every way that doesn't do with the driving, right? Because fundamentally, at the moment, until the tech changes, it's really hard to make an EV engaging and soulful to drive for us. So I think engines are a big part of that, driving personality and character, and also just, you know, the weight and the transfer and all of that kind of stuff gives a car its personality. So when you go to a battery, that is very hard to do. So there seem to be lots of almost gimmicks that are starting to come in. The boost paddle on the i5 being a prime example. The lights lighting up in a funny way that does a display. The fart noises in a Tesla. You know, all this kind of stuff. Mm. And Abarth have done it with that sound generator. You know, that... Bah. It's fake. Some of it is going to work. Some of it is going to land. And we're going to go, you know what? And I think that sound generator actually works when you're dynamically driving the Abarth. I think it adds to the experience. But it's a gimmick. And there are some other gimmicks on that car and in other cars that you go, oh, it's just a bit fake. Like, it's a bit try-hard.
Yeah.
Porsche don't tend to do too much try-hard stuff because they're Porsche. We don't need to, like, whatever. Like, we'll just make the car a little bit better. So I feel like with the Boxster, they're just going to make what they can
make is a really great driver's car, and they're not going to do too many gimmicks, and I think they're going to have a good chance at doing it. I have to say, I do hear amazing things about that Lotus Evija.
Right.
The big 2,000 yeah. horsepower. I do hear really good things about that, but I think it can, and Lotus, you can feel free to abuse me on text or WhatsApp afterwards. I think it can only do like 6 laps before it needs to be recharged. Mm. But people do say good things.
I think it's near on impossible to engineer soul into a car, full stop. It's either got it or it hasn't. So, the, you know, there's lots of BMWs and Porsches that haven't got any soul, and then there's models that just naturally have. Mm. So I think it's really hard to engineer it in. And as well, like you said, with the EV cars, they will have certain gimmicks. But I think it's a novelty, mate, and it'll wear off. And then after 2 months, you go, well, I'm bored of this now. And then you go into another one and you think, well, that's all right. It's a novelty for another 5 minutes and you're bored again.
Well, again, I'm cannibalising my own video, but I turned off all the gimmicks in the Abarth. Mm. I turned off the sound generator. I turned off the startup jingle. Who knows about the startup jingle?
What?
Oh, my God. Let's not get into that.
I was intrigued with the new Caterham that they showed at the Festival of Speed. That looked really, really nice, but I don't know whether it's going to drive.
I think they can look nice. I think there's lots of nice-looking EVs coming to the market. They look great. And I think looks, personally, I think looks is a lot of personality. If it's exciting to walk up to, if it makes you go like, oh, yeah, cool. But we're drivers, right? We're all car enthusiasts. We like to drive. Let's get the microphone over this way because I can see somebody desperate to jump into this chat. He clearly works for Polestar.
Does he?
No. I don't know. please, man. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. And you're right, Caterham looks nice. Come on.
I wanted to partly respond. I've also got a question. So I've got a Taycan.
Okay.
And I have the sound on. I have it in sports mode. I have it lowered. And I love it. And I think it drives like a Porsche. And it's brilliant. So I wanted to kind of respond because I think that car has got soul, and I've never looked at range, and I drive it like I want to drive it. But my question was going to be: I'm considering when I change it to go to a Audi GT e-tron GT Quattro. What would your view be about that possible switch?
Can I ask firstly, is that because a lease is coming to an end that you are switching?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Fine.
Why? The same car.
Same car.
Done him.
Honestly, same car. I mean, I think if anything, lesser. Because I hear great things about the e-tron GT, and I think it would be like comparing Cayenne Turbo GT with RSQA. Like I think you just go, I kind of miss the Porsche part of it. Do you know what I mean? I think it would be great to drive, I'm sure, but change it up. There's a lot, since the Taycan, there's lots of newer tech out that I think would give you a different and better experience. So,
cheers.
Yeah, no, thank you for the question. Let's move backwards again. We'll come firstly just to the middle row, to the man with the glasses to help the microphone passes. Thanks so much. We'll do a couple more questions here, people. But yeah, here we go.
Hi, guys. So back to your BMW chat about the electric one. I have no experience about that. Never really been into BMWs, but appreciate them for what they are. Idalia Model 3 Tesla. The dual motor one. I like the punch that it has for a day-to-day. It's a tool. I see it as a tool. I don't really care about it. I use it as it is. But when I want a bit of a rag around going to work and back, I don't matter about the range depleting because I charge it at work, I could charge it at home. So for that, I can see the point of having a punchy EV for ragging around.
Well, firstly, can I ask, do you, like we were arguing earlier about the 992 E92 thing, do you always have to clarify dual motor? No. Is that a Tesla thing?
No. No. Okay. No, I have the same thing with a Porsche. I have two Porsches.
Oh, so fine. Okay. It's a dual motor.
I never clarify the Porsche I have, no.
Do you see the new Model 3 and does that appeal to you?
I'm actually not sure about it.
Interesting.
And I don't know if I'm going to get another Tesla.
So you've bigged it up. No, you don't want it.
Well, no, but from the EV point of view. So look, I wouldn't say I wouldn't get an EV, but the reason I got the EV to start with mainly was the tax benefit.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's what they're for.
Yeah, but now they're getting rid of the benefits in London.
For sure.
30, I mean, 25, there's no...
I think the fundamental truth with all EVs, as we all know, it all depends on your charging ability. If you can charge it regularly at work, at home, if your commute is 50-odd miles... EVs make fantastic sense if you can also take advantage of the tax break. So from that point of view, I don't think any of us knocking. If Tony, if you had a high-speed charger at home and a high-speed charger at work and you could write it all off on the tax, you'd probably have a Taycan.
I'd probably have a Tesla.
It's
the value for money thing. It's a tool and for a work car.
And if you're not having to worry about range, yeah. Fantastic.
Like the BMW you just mentioned, the range on that compared to mine sounds terrible. I've had it it's 3 years old.
But Tesla
so it's
lead
tech
the
from 3 years ago. It's not brand new, but yeah. Their range is still better.
Yeah. But oh, no, hold on a sec. You're not paying us for this. You can chat privately afterwards. You can chat because the thing with all of these EVs, right, is you've got to always weigh up performance versus range and different models well for different things. Tesla are always going to be industry leading because they are 10 years ahead of everyone. Yeah. So that new Model 3 can supposedly do 400 miles. Let's see real world what it is. I don't think there are many others apart from special fancy Mercedes that are claiming to get close to that. Yeah. You know, it's horses for different courses, but...
And the infrastructure, mate. The infrastructure is miles better.
Another reason I got it.
The fact that you can charge in both places means that an electric Boxster could really appeal to you or could really work, or an Ioniq 5N could really work for you. But for the major part of the world, because instant talk is fun. Instant talk is fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for the point and the question. We'll just move across. Let's do the last two questions. So you and then the one just behind you. But
yeah, there's a glorious 675 LT downstairs in all carbon. Yeah. So seeing that, you've obviously been not so unpleasant about the LTs in the McLaren world. Is that something particular for your channel, maybe for views, you might go back to perhaps not a 675 or a 600, just as sort of a long-term car?
I try not to buy cars for views because it never works. and then you end up with a really expensive thing that you don't actually like or want.
When I say views, just because of your previous sort of...
For a story.
Story.
We've spoken a lot of time about running a car, like a BTG car, to talk through the experience, like a long-termer, like magazines do. And that maybe a McLaren would be interesting is, you know, 75 grand, 570Ss seem like unbelievable value. And we've thought, well, maybe we do it and run it for 6 months, talk you all through what it's actually like, and then try and sell it. And it's a kind of user experience. But then we go, do we want to buy a 75 grand McLaren?
No.
And we both poop ourselves. I always say, if you can get a McLaren that works, it's an unbelievable car.
Yeah.
And I think nowadays, they're back to making great products. I think there's still some nervousness around Artura, which they shouldn't be, because I do hear everyone having good experiences. I think 750S is going to be really interesting. Like, I'm so pro McLaren at the moment, but as a used vehicle, would I leap into an old model? I think I'd still be too nervous.
I did, and it's thanks to your channel. For the finance, not so much for the complimentary.
Fine, okay. Were you on an LT?
12C.
12C, okay, fine. And it's been all right?
Yeah, it's in the garage at the moment, which is why it's not here.
So it's not all right.
Can I ask which garage?
V-Engineering.
V-Engineering, because they are literally the only real McLaren specialist, right?
No, Forney Motorsport is where I normally get service, but they're a bit closer to me.
V-Engineering kind of... I like McLaren, so I'd want to tell a story. I just don't want the pain of the bills and the selling. But good on you.
There is a bit.
Hopefully we'll see another one. Yeah. Just behind you, there was a question, literally, and this will be our last question of the day.
So it's a bit of a question for both of you. We love V8s. Everyone loves a V8. What are the best V8s under 40 grand, like that's quite practical, that you can use?
C63.
Which generation?
The V8 one.
But the turbo or the aspirated?
No, the turbo car.
Turbo car.
Yeah. That, honestly, I still think that 4-litre turbo, I mean, it's a great engine. It's an unbelievable engine, that car.
I'm not going to surprise you. I'm going to say an F-Type R. I mean, I think, you know, that...
No,
you've
died.
Why have I died?
It was a terrible car for 40 grand.
You're mad, mate. No. You just said that to wind me up, and I'm not going to walk into it.
You just did.
No, two of the best... V8 sports coupes, I think. Those two.
Yeah.
I think, you know, unbelievable engines, lots of power, really usable, loads of character and personality in both.
Yeah.
Does the C63, does it need an exhaust, that engine, or it's all right as a stock? Pre-OPF. Yours pre-OPF. So a pre-OPF car can still sound pretty low. Because you want that for the personality.
Down. So 2018.
Pre-2018, yeah.
That was my next question.
Okay, what year? Yeah, well, F-Type R's, you're having to look at like 2015, I think for sub 40K probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but yeah, those would be our go-to. Stick with our gut reactions, I guess.
Yeah, and for efficiency and reliability, the Merc will be better overall.
Those early F-Types, disaster. Yeah. It would sound great and you look like a boss.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I guess that's a good way to wrap things up. We've gone a little bit over our usual time allocation. Thank you so much for all those questions. Sorry if we didn't answer any others, but you can grab us just afterwards as we make our way down to check out some cars. Hopefully it's not still raining. But you've been an amazing audience. We've loved meeting you, especially you two nutters from America. But all of you have made a great effort to come here, especially in some of the cars that you've driven. So give yourselves a round of applause. Thank you so much. And for those of you listening and watching at home, we will see you next week from Australia.
Upside down.
Think of the nuts we're going to have in that audience.
Oh, God.
Check out my ute. You know, it's going to be a nightmare. We'll be kicked out instantly. So, yes, those of you at home, make sure to subscribe, turn on notifications. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much, everybody. We really appreciate it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.